So today, I've got something hard to talk through with you, and my guess is by the time the sermon's done, by the time noon is here, there's going to be a lot of people right here in this room, watching online maybe too, who think, man, I really don't agree with Jake about something that he said, right? And I'm going into the sermon 100% okay with not everybody in the room agreeing with everything I'm going to share for the whole sermon. But this very first thing we're going to start on is the thing that as your pastor, as your leader, I'm going to stick my foot down and say, like, this is what we got to be. This is what we got to be about. This is what we have to agree on. And then we're going to get into some stuff that maybe we don't initially agree on, okay? But let's start where we need to begin at, right? So this first slide here, I think it's this picture. It's got this shepherd, and it's John chapter 10. I love John 10. We've read it together. Jesus is describing himself as the good shepherd. But then he says, my sheep, this is Jesus' definition of a Christian or of one of his people. This is one of his definitions. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. That's number one. And it says, Jesus says, I know them. And number two, and they follow me. This is a very simple formula. If you're a formless type of person, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means you listen to Jesus and you do what he shows you to do. Jesus is going to get involved in your life and tell you to change who you're living with or change the substances you're doing or whatever. You know, Jesus is going to tell you stuff. And are you going to listen to him? Because if you're not listening, then you're not fitting this. And if you're not doing what he says, you're not fitting this. Now, all of us are going to fall short and need grace and mercy. We talk about that a lot. But this is what we have to agree on of, like, this is what we're shooting for. We're shooting for Jesus is the one we listen to. Jesus is the one we follow. Because there's a lot of details that are going to be tricky to figure out. But if we don't have this right, like, we're not even headed the same direction. Does that make sense? Like, Jesus says, this is what Christians are, and that's what we want to be about, right? At Mayo Baptist, like, we want to be about, like, we believe Jesus is the foundation. We're not coming to Jesus to prove something else right. We're not coming to Jesus to co-sign something we want to do. We're saying Jesus is the foundation, and we're going to build off of that. We're going to be dependent on Jesus, right? So one other thing to point out about this that we're going to talk about today is it's in the plural. And there's a whole bunch of stuff in the Bible that sometimes we read it on our own and we think this is just about me and God getting it right. But a lot of what Jesus says, including this, it's about us doing it together. And there's a lot of rub there because we don't always agree, we don't always get along, and it's a lot trickier to try to be a good person with other people, right? Some of us can go sit by ourselves and be good, you know, like, and be at peace. But as soon as you get us around some other people and there's some dirty dishes, like, suddenly it's like, we're not such a good Christian or whatever, you know, right? Like, suddenly we have a harder time. So he says, my sheep listen to my voice. He's talking in the plural. I know them and they follow me. So as we go through stuff, we need to mature, grow up. There's going to be growing pains. This has to be like the bedrock that we come back to you of, like, even if we don't always get along, we don't always agree, we agree on this, that Jesus is going to really talk to us, Jesus is going to really show us things to do, and he wants us to go there together, ideally, right? So, we know that. I want us to pray and ask for Jesus' help with the rest of this. Jesus, I thank you that you are our good shepherd. And Jesus, in this season at Maywood, you've called me to lead us. And I believe you want us to talk about this today. But more than getting things right today, Jesus, I pray we just get that thing we just read right. That we would really trust you enough to listen and to follow together. Jesus, I pray you would speak to us today and in the years to come. And I pray you would guide us as we follow you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to start with a question my daughter asked. She actually asked my wife, not me. But Sequoia, my six-year-old. I think we have a picture of her here. So super cute. She's missing her two front teeth. But she hears about God a lot. We read the Bible. We talk about God a lot. All of a sudden, she hit my wife with this question. Christy's always talking about, they always ask these theological questions when you're not around, Jake. You know, she like resents that. You know, like, you're the pastor and you never seem to be here when these questions come out. Well, this was one of them. And maybe it's because God wants me to be slower to speak is why he doesn't have me around in those moments. But she asks, you know, she heard about Heavenly Father, because that comes up a lot in prayers and stuff. And she said, why don't we have a Heavenly Mother? So right away, you think, like, where is Jake going with this on Mother's Day? So she asked, why don't we have a Heavenly Mother? And I know the Bible well enough of, like, I could rattle off some stuff about, like, well, Jesus compares himself to a mother hen. God in the Old Testament compares himself to, like, a mother giving birth to kids. He compares himself to, like, having a mother's kind love. He compares himself to, like, a mother bear robbed of her cubs. So there's some feminine analogies given or metaphors given by God and Jesus. But Jesus is the one who knows the Father best, right? Like, we come to God through Jesus. And Jesus most often describes God as Father, right? Like, that's the basic principle there. So didn't have this big discussion with my six-year-old, though, because I wasn't there. And then this week, as I'm reading in John 14, getting ready for Mother's Day, I was already ready for verse 6. Like, that's where I thought we were headed. I had a lot to say about it. And then as I was reading, I felt like God came along and brought back that Sequoia question. And rather than, I already had a bunch of answers, but I feel like God gave me, like, an insight into a question that she has. And for some of us, like, we already know a bunch of answers, but maybe we need to be slow enough to just listen to God about, like, what's this other person thinking about? What's this other person going through, right? So John 14 is where we're going to be at today. And we're going to skip a slide here, Nick. But if we could go to John 14, verse 1 through 4. So this is Jesus talking. He's just washed the disciples' feet. He told them, love each other as I have loved you. Like, let your love flow from me. And then in verse 14, he's still talking to that group of disciples. This is shortly before getting arrested, dying on the cross, and raising from the dead. This is kind of his final conversation with his closest friends. In verse 1, if you've turned there, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Now, the basics of this passage, just so we got that clear, is Jesus is saying, don't be troubled, even though you're about to go through something really hard, disciples, because Jesus is saying, I'm going to heaven, and there's a lot of room, but I'm going to make a place for each of you, talking to his followers there. And to get a little down the road here a minute, you know, a lot of times we talk about going to heaven. You know, somebody dies, we talk about, like, they go to heaven or will be in heaven forever. To look at the details of what the Bible tells us, it's actually Jesus goes to heaven to prepare a place for us. And when everything's wrapped up here on earth, it's all going to burn, basically is what God says. And people that know Jesus, that have this relationship with Jesus, it says, are going to be put on a new earth. And the city of God is going to come that Christ has prepared for us, right? That God and Jesus are going to dwell with us forever. Now, that's a lot of detail. You don't necessarily have to know all that detail. Just like you don't have to know how digestion works to eat a ham sandwich. Like, you don't have to know it all about the end times to know, like, I need Jesus and I want a relationship with him. Like, if you get that right, you don't have to know all the details, right? But that's the basics of what this passage is talking about, though, is Jesus is saying, I want to be with you. I'm going to make a place special for you forever. And I want to be with you forever. He's saying that to the disciples. He's saying that to us today. In verse 4, we're going to get back to you as well about that way that he talks about. But as I was reading it this week and getting ready on Tuesday for the sermon today, I read my father's, like that allusion to God a lot, but this week it just, boom, brought me back to that Sequoia question. And then I felt like God laid this question on my heart that might be inside my little girl's heart, right? So it's just, do I have a place, right? When you're a little girl, you're hearing about masculine, like God the Father, Jesus the Son. There's this question maybe, right? About like, where do I fit into that? Now, some of us are so eager to answer every question quickly, we might just say like, well, we'll just bend it around, right? Or just make it all fit. Let's not be in a rush. I think it's enough to just sit with a little while to realize like somebody might be processing through stuff and it might be hard for them to figure it out, right? And they might have a real deep question that maybe doesn't need a surface answer. Even if the surface answer is true, maybe it's not helpful, if that makes sense, right? So I felt like God was slowing me down from just giving a quick answer to like slow down to understand what is the real need. If you want to talk about something that's not like our culture when it comes to anything to do with gender issues, is what I just felt like God was telling me to do. Like, slow down and try to understand the other person's need. And we're really quick to want to pigeonhole people. Like, even right now, some of you are like, Jake, just tell us what you think so we can peg you on like a conservative, liberal, something board and pigeonhole you and either like pat you on the back of like, yep, we agree, let's go get everybody else, or like fight me right away, right? Of like, yep, you're wrong, you're one of them, I'll never listen to you again, right? Like, that's how normal America works nowadays. Like, that's how the world works. There's not this space to say, what's this other person going through, and I want to understand it. I don't have to just club it with some sort of answer. I have time. I have heart space. I have the trust that God is going to work stuff out, that like I can sit with a question, right? I can understand. I can pay attention. So, you know, Sequoia loves being a girl. She's dressed like Snow White. Yesterday, you know, it's not like there's a gender confusion with Sequoia in particular, but I do know I was a youth pastor here at Maywood like 10 years ago. It was a really different place than it is today. And it's only 10 years, right? The world is different than it was then. And here's what else I know about gender stuff is like, I think I could say a lot of super specific things and have like the vast majority of Maywood be like, yep, Jake, you're right. But I think the thing for us today to talk about isn't so much like, let's all make sure we're exactly on the same page, as is like, can we be the type of church that can have hard conversations and not blow up at each other? Because on Tuesday, I wrote a rough draft of the sermon and I thought like, this one's going to get trashed. Because I just thought like, it's Mother's Day. It's stupid to talk about this stuff on Mother's Day of all days, right? And then I went to early prayer on Wednesday morning, and there's a group of people that get together at 5 a.m. on Wednesdays to pray. As you might imagine, there's not a lot of people. Like, it's Maywood, and there's not a ton of us that are like, yep, 5 a.m., I want to pray, right? But there's a few people that do that. And I talked to Chuck and Katie to get permission on sharing this story, so don't get nervous about that. But Chuck, at 5 a.m., we're all in this little circle to pray, and Chuck opens up about there's a family member of his that's going through a lot of pain because somebody connected to them has got an issue to do with gender stuff and a law, and there's some political implications. But he was sharing, like, I want prayer for all this that's happening and for the pain. And then Katie, very next person to speak, shares about a family thing that involves gender stuff as well and a lot of pain. And it was very clear very quickly to everyone in the room, if we were going to vote on some political stuff, like Chuck and Katie are going to vote a little bit differently than each other, right? Like, they're not coming at this from the same angles exactly, right? think about how conversations go, whether it's at Quick Trip or at your work or online. When you got two people who have family members that are involved in something and they don't see things eye to eye politically, like how do those conversations normally go? Like they're not very long conversations, right? They might be really loud, but they're not very long, right? You could feel the tension in that room with everybody because we're all like, what's about to happen, you know? And at one point, one of them stood up because there was a lot of like physical energy, right? They didn't yell or anything, but they had self-control. But there was just like so much, when you're emotionally hurting, like, and you're talking to somebody else, like there's a lot of energy there, right? Here's what I was so proud of as the pastor of these two people was even though there was all that energy and like, whoa, we're both hurting and we don't see it perfectly the exact same way. They talked to each other. Nobody blew up. Nobody started calling each other names. Nobody screamed at each other or said anything rude. And then we prayed together, and I'm going to unpack that more in just a second. And then after we got done praying, those two people like stuck around and talked for a long time about it. And it wasn't at the end of it. They just said like, oh, well, now we all know everything perfectly. And we've got it on these golden tablets, and we just have to tell the world about it, right? We have all the answers now, right? It wasn't like that. They both came away still seeing things a little differently, but still respecting each other, still loving towards one another, still following Jesus and trying to do the next right thing, right? So what I'm not trying to say here today is that only thing Maywood is after is like, kumbaya, let's just all get along. Like there is real truth. There is a real right, right? Like someday we're going to see Jesus, and I'm going to get to find out like all the ways that I was wrong. Like I can tell you as your pastor, like there's some stuff I think is totally true that I'm wrong about, right? But it doesn't take a genius or a prophet to see where we're headed as a society. Like we're headed towards a place where like we're going to have to figure out some tough stuff. And at the end of the day, it's going to get granular enough, like small enough, that even if you're a Republican or a Democrat or whatever, you're still going to wind up getting upset at each other. We're going to have to figure out, like, how many bathrooms do we have at Maywood, right? What pronouns do we use, right? And it's not just, like, gender stuff. There's all sorts of different stuff going on in the world. It's not just about this, but where it's become political, but then Christians have got different ideas about what should we do. And there's, as a church, we could stay surface level and just say, like, let's not talk about a whole bunch of stuff, right? That's off limits, right? Let's just focus on stop doing meth. That's safe. We can all agree, right? Ephesians chapter 4 talks about us being unified. I'm not quite ready for that one. Sorry. You're ahead of me a little bit. Thank you, Nick. But Ephesians 4 talks about us being unified to where we can be the body of Jesus. Like that's a unity that involves trust in each other. It's a unity that involves getting to really know each other. But we read Ephesians 4, 7 through 13 a whole lot. Here's some verses right before it though. Verse 2 through 3 of chapter 4. So yeah, Nick, now if we can go there. Here's Paul talking and he says, this is talking about how Christians should treat each other. It says, be completely humble and gentle. Think about if today I put you in a room with somebody that thinks differently than you about some issue that affects a family member of yours. Like, are you ready to be completely humble and gentle as you interact with them? Are you ready to be patient? To bear with one another in love. That means like carry some weight. That means the other person's not going to be perfect and you're going to have to like let some stuff slide and like put up with it, right? Like you're going to have to not just freak out the moment they do something you don't like, right? Bear with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That means there could come a time where you're like, this isn't going to work. Like this other, we cannot be together and view this differently, right? But this is saying that should be, you make every effort to be unified and at peace with each other before you break, right? As a church, And myself as well, we have a long way to go to be able to walk around and say, yeah, I did that every day this week, right? And all my interactions, even if we just said all my interactions with Maywood people, I was completely humble and gentle and patient, and I was bearing with one another in love, and I made every effort, right? I mean, like, I have a long way to go, right? I had to apologize to someone this morning. I probably should be apologizing to even more people, right? Like, I don't even know all the ways I've been wrong recently, right? But we're trying to do better, right? So it's a lot to talk about, right? I am going to give you guys something on the gender stuff from Genesis, just because I know there's a lot of questions there. But then we're going to talk about how do we put what Jake's talking about into action, right? So Genesis chapter 1, if we go all the way back, this is one of our early slides, Nick. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, I believe. It says, talking about creation, and it says, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Here's what I want to touch on. I witnessed at one point somebody like clubbing somebody with the Bible on a gender issue. I don't want to do that. This isn't just like proof text. What I do want to say that's true from this passage, though, is God had a purpose when he made males and females. God decided to do that. There's something spectacular about this idea of being an image bearer of God. God doesn't say this about anything else in creation. You know, like wombats or something. You know, like they're not image bearers of God, right? There's this idea of like God chose to make men and women as image bearers of him, like as a reflection of him. So there's this idea that it's a gift that God's given us, right? There's also this idea of like God is spirit. We know that from other places, like John 4, Jesus tells us that. So, I mean, gender's not just about like plumbing or something like that. It's not just like a physical thing, right? There's a deeper thing here. So when we get to Genesis 1:27, I hope we can have the respect to say like God's identity is more than I can fully understand. Gender is somehow connected to that, right? So there's deep waters here, if we could respect that. Like, there's something beautiful going on that God's done. I also will say, there's been some stuff in my life, for years, I felt like it was a curse. And it wasn't until following Jesus for years that I could see like, oh, that thing that I've always not liked, that I always felt like was just a burden, I see how God used it to be a blessing or a grace to me. But if you would go back in time and have someone like hit me over the side of the head and say like, Jake, you should feel good about that. That's a blessing from God. I would not have liked that person, right? Like just hitting somebody with that isn't necessarily the way to help them move forward. I hope this stuff is making sense. I do also want to say at the beginning of the sermon, I talked about like, you're not going to agree with everything I say today. The thing that I'm going to demand we agree on is that like, are we coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, you get to be my ultimate authority. Like, I want to listen to you and follow you. Because we don't all have to agree today on everything if we agree on that. And if we agree on that, I have a really practical, you know me, like I love the practicality. I have a really practical step forward. Because I think right now, today, like if I were just, if the world, if I knew Jesus was coming back 6 weeks from now, I don't think we need to talk about this, right? Like, I don't think there's anything we need to do super fast. But I also know, like, if we're going to be deeper and more mature and more unified in the culture that's coming, like, we have to be able to have talks with each other that are deep talks where we don't all agree. If we can't grow up into that, like, we're not going to be effective. We're not going to be a mature body of Jesus. So how do we do it? So if we go to the slide, the praying slide. Thank you, Nick, for sticking with me. I'm all over the place back there for you. But it's a very simple practice. And this is going to seem like I don't really need to do that. And like, this is the one that is going to help us more than anything else. I thought about it a lot this week. Katie and Chuck are wonderful human beings. And so maybe that's why it all worked out. But I think a big part of like secret sauce, like how that hard conversation worked out, is those two have been getting together with a small group of people and praying weekly for an hour for quite a while. It's just a lot harder to get into like a knockdown, yelling, unhappy fight with somebody that you've been praying with before the sun gets up for months every week. Like, you're just bonded more. Like, I don't know another word to put on it. Like, you're closer, and it's just harder to break it. It's harder for Satan to break it. It's harder for our own pride to break it. We don't even have to get Satan involved. Like, my own pride can mess up all sorts of relationships, right? But if you've been praying with somebody regularly, it's a lot harder for things to break, right? I was talking to somebody yesterday. They were talking about, I always run synthetic oil in my engines, and I don't normally get my car oil changed as much as I should. But because they run synthetic, which is still not wise, still not a good choice, but because they run synthetic, somebody knows who it is. So there you go. I didn't say it. But so because they run synthetic, they think like, well, at least I'm running synthetic, right? At least it's better. We're going to have bumps along the road where like we're not a perfect person or where we don't see exactly perfectly right. And don't you hope that we can make it over those bumps, right? And maybe you do see everything totally right. Maybe you are right on this issue. But don't you want your Christian brother or your Christian sister to be able to get to a better place? If you've been praying with them, they can go with you. But a lot of times, even if you have the right answer, they can't receive it from you because you haven't put in the work to open the door for that, right? So whether you're coming from it with a realistic probably view of yourself, of like, I need the help, even if you're coming at it from, I'm so mature, like, would you grace us enough to say, like, I'm going to put in the work to build deep relationships? Because imagine if God wants to change somebody's mind at Maywood. God can do miracles. He can do awesome stuff. Somebody was telling me today about how God got through a bunch of locked doors and got to them in prison when nobody else could, right? God can do that. But I also know from the Great Commission, like, Jesus wants to use us. Like, he wants to speak through us to each other. But there's people in this room who God wants to change their mind, and God has no ambassador that they trust. Maybe they've been coming to Maywood for years, and there's nobody that they trust enough to hear something they don't want to hear from that person, right? And like, God may just send the Holy Spirit and convict them, right? Like, God can do it. But like, wouldn't it be better as a body if all of us had somebody that God could use as an ambassador to talk to us and say like, hey, you're wrong in this way. Or even, maybe not even a you're wrong, but just I disagree and let's figure it out together, right? But if there's not that trust built, like how does it happen? So it's noon. I'm going to let you guys go in a second, but here's what I'm pushing you to do. Most of us in the room, I don't know for sure, but there's plenty of us that don't have somebody else we pray with regularly that's not our biological family. And that's what I'm going to push all of us to do this week. I'm not going to put a time limit on it. I'm not going to say you got to pray for an hour. I don't think there's a reason to be at Maywood and to not be praying with another person from Maywood every week. And I'm not saying bounce around to different people. I'm saying stick with them for a little while. Stick with them for a year or 2 years and say every Tuesday at 11 a.m. or every Saturday night at midnight or whatever works for your schedule, but like find somebody else and pray with them every week. Because if you're praying with somebody every week, I'm telling you, you're going to bond to that person in a way that I don't see another way for it to happen like that. And this sounds super simple and it sounds like, I can get by. I don't need that. But you don't, you know, we live in independence, and if a tornado happened today and you didn't have a house or a place you're living, right, you just have to like run for a creek bed or whatever, like you just got to get to your low spot. But if you live in independence and you're building a structure, like you should build a basement, right? Like you should put in the time and the effort because like a tornado is going to happen someday, right? Or at least like reasonable enough, right? This isn't Arizona, right? Like we do need basements here. You're going to have a time when you're going through something really hard and you're going to need somebody that you can trust, somebody that you're bonded to. There's going to be a storm in your life, and that's not the time you start building the basement, right? So it's not very like sexy and attractive and adventurous or whatever to like get up early and pray. Like that feels like, oh, I'm too busy for this, right? But the one thing I want us to do as a church is to start praying together with one other person, two other people, five other people. You could just come Wednesday at 5 if you're up for that. Like, there's people already doing it. If you're too nervous to ask somebody, like, just show up for that. But for some of you, you need it to be as easy as possible. I'm going to give you, here's the super easy way to do it. You're already in this room with a bunch of people from Maywood. You don't have to leave this room before you pray with them. Like, if you're like, I really want to get this done this week, like, you could do it in the next 10 minutes. Talk to somebody and say, hey, would you pray with me? And on Sundays, could we start praying together? It could be 10 minutes long, but if it's every week you're praying with the same person, you're telling them, here's how I need God's help. How do you need God's help? Like, that's it. That's all you have to do. We're going to be a different body a year from now, 5 years from now. I don't know exactly what's coming, but I know we're going to be more ready for it if we're bonded to each other, if we pray together. If you guys want to talk to me more about any of this stuff, I can talk to you about it so long as you followed my advice and you're praying with somebody. If it's not worth your time to pray with somebody, like, we don't even need to talk about it, right? Like, we got to do that, right? Like, we got to pray with each other. But if you are like, Jake, I really need to pigeonhole you. What exactly do you believe or whatever? Like, we can talk about it, right? But let's pray, okay? So before you leave the room, find somebody to pray with them or make a plan for some other time this week. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you are a good shepherd. And there's so much that I don't know, and I'm sure there's stuff I'm wrong on, Jesus, but I pray that you would bond us together in unity so we can be effective for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.